Faith over fear. What are you afraid of? What's got you up all night? See, I talk with God all night. I have ideas and then I put them in my notes. I wake up in the middle of the night and there's something, I'll put it in my notes. Hallelujah. Faith over fear. We're going to be reading out of a passage that we've read before, but I just kind of want to reiterate some things in here. But you can open up your Bibles to Mark 5. We know that we live our lives by faith and not by fear. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Are you just? Then you live by what? We're not saying it like we mean it. The just shall live by faith. There we go. See, right there, every time. That right there. Every time. It's important that you hear yourself say it. It's kind of like when you're out at a restaurant, and then you're just like, and the only reason why you're saying it so soft, not because, I mean, it's because you may be embarrassed or what have you. You don't want anybody else to hear you. You can shout in here. You can say stuff. I mean, seriously, you can. The just shall live by faith. There we go. And not by, we walk by faith and not by, so we're not moved by the things that we see. Because the things that we see is temporal. It's subject to change. So we get all caught up on the things that we actually see in reality is going to change. Your faith doesn't deny that the problem is there. It's like, oh, I'm not sick. Well, your body is sick, but your faith can override that. Your faith in God. We had the opportunity to run into someone yesterday. Friday. Just got through eating lunch, and we both went to go wash our cars and ran into a young lady, and she was like, bawling because she got a bad report. And here's the thing. There's always the good news. And so we stood there at the car wash praying for her. We were at the right place at the right time. You know, miracles don't just happen here. It's out there. That's where Jesus did most of his stuff. Out there. Not in the four walls. But if you do come in and you need one, God is not going to say, well, we're not going to do it because it's out there. We were able to pray. We were able to speak life into her when she needed it. This is why we equip you so that you can go out and do the works of Jesus. You're ready anytime. It doesn't matter. You can be vacuuming out your car. Somebody come up to you. Why? Because they know that you are a person of faith. They know that you are a son and daughter of God. You may be on your way somewhere and then someone needs your help right then and there. Okay, I can make a little detour. Why? Because it's only going to take a second. Some people think, well, I need to get into prayer and we need to have this prayer team. We need to get all this going on. We need to wait. No. You don't need to do that. It'll take just a second. Why? Because you know your authority in Christ. Let's get it and let's go. Come on. If she come over here, just let her. She's fine. Faith. This is what we live by. This is the norm. And sometimes we act like, well, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed. No. Go ahead. That's when you can step on out. When you don't think that you can do it, it's not in your own power. It's in God's. Faith. Over fear. Fear will keep you from doing those things because your focus is on self. When you have faith, your faith is in God. Hallelujah. It's faith in God and what he has said. And I know sometimes I get a bad rap when people say, I'm standing firm. Listen, you're just standing on something that's anchored. You're standing on his word. You know, throughout the Bible, it tells you to stand firm. It even tells you to stand, therefore, with your belt of truth around your waist. You gotta gird up your loins. I don't like it, but you know, back in the days, they used to wear robes and gowns and stuff, guys. So when they go into battle, it's like they gotta gird up. Why? You don't want your britches falling down. It's kind of hard to swing it. You gotta gird. You need that belt of truth. You need that belt on you. I see kids nowadays, and it's just like, okay, they're way down here sagging. It's like, okay, just run a little bit, and they'll be tripping over their pants. We stand on Scripture. We stand on what God says. We stand on what we are actually confessing. It isn't just standing on what God has spoken to us. What have you spoken to yourself? And that's why we're going to read about Jairus, because that woman with the issue of blood, she said what? She kept saying. Nobody was saying that for her. She kept saying. Come on. What people are actually saying is that they're immovable when they're saying they stand firm about what God's word says about your situation. I don't know about you, but it has worked for me over the years. People get Word of Faith get a bad rap, and I understand there's some stuff that you got to clean up because people have taken it crazy, but it's worked for me. And it's just a doctrine. It's not the doctrine. The doctrine is just the Word of God. I just believe the Word. What are you? Are you? You're Pentecostal? You're this? You're that? You're that? I'm a son of God. That's it. We're not getting into any debates. I'm a son of God. Are you? Period. Let's roll. Cut to the chase. Let's just go. Mark 5. It says this, Jesus got into the boat again and went to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. See, Jesus just left from a place where they didn't want him. They rejected him. They did not want him there. And now he's going to a place where they're just basically waiting for him. If people don't like the good news that you bring, go somewhere else and tell it. If that crowd don't like it over here and what you're saying and what you're doing because of what you believe based upon the word of God, there's another crowd that's waiting for you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't get discouraged. You got to continue to move forward. I don't get discouraged. There's been opportunities I've had to get discouraged, but I don't take that opportunity. I don't ever get, how can you get discouraged constantly winning? I win. I feel like Denzel Washington on Remember the Titans. I win. I'm a winner. Thanks be unto God who always what? Causes us to triumph. It ain't just me, it's you. You're a winner. There ain't no losers in the Bible that has served Jesus. Not one. Now, when they chose to reject him, loser, they're walking around like Laverne and Shirley with a big old L on their chest. They're losers. But you're winners because God always causes you to triumph. Even if it looks like you lose, you still win. Because after it's all said and done, if you were to leave this place earlier than expected, guess what? To be absent from the body is to be where? In the presence of the Lord. Win-win. Winner-winner chicken dinner. You stay winning. Verse 22, he says, then a leader of the synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Listen, Jairus had to come to Jesus to get his miracle. He didn't get it in the synagogue. He had to come to Jesus outside. Church, there is only one place. There's not only one place where you can receive your miracle. Conferences, you don't have to go to conferences to receive your miracle. You can receive your miracle everywhere, anywhere. Just believe. Just believe. Jairus, he was a leader in the synagogue. A leader humbled himself and fell at the feet of Jesus. It wasn't about titles right there. It wasn't about who he was. He humbled himself and fell. He needed help. Please don't ever get to the place to where you just think you're just too important because of your title and thinking, I don't need help on my own. I don't need any help. I got this by myself. He fell at the feet of Jesus. That's in front of everyone there. I can't raise my hands in church. I'm just too important. People may see me. I got coworkers that might see me. And I'm mean and I'm stern at work and I can't let them see me glorifying God. No, it's not just here. It should be at work too. We don't just put on a mask. I said, we don't wear a mask. People should know that you're a born again believer at your job. Not because of the t-shirt you wear, but because of how you conduct yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. There's sometimes you might want to drop kick some people. I get that. But you don't do it because you show restraint. He's given you self-control. Those are emotions. Anger is an emotion. But the Bible says, do not sin in your anger. You haven't sinned. You just may have had the thought, you know. It's okay to have that thought. Just don't sin. Verse 23, it says, pleading fervently with him, my little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. See, faith in God does not deny the problem that you are facing. If you were taking a test and you needed some help for some of the answers, you don't have to say, well, there's no questions. No, the questions are there. There's problems. And those problems need to be solved. Lord, help me. Give me the wisdom to be able to answer some of these. I didn't study last night. There's many a times I had to pray that. I was kind of last minute. Your faith can override that. There's no cure for Alzheimer's. There's no cure for dementia. There's no cure for cancer. There's no cure. There's no cure. There's no cure. There is. His name is. Come on. Oh, I like that. God likes that. You know who doesn't like it? There we go. Say his name again. Jesus. Come on. Let's say it. Say you're proud. Jesus. There we go. Say it. Say it. Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. That's a good name. It's the sweetest name that you will ever know. That name can terrify demons, but it can also move you to a place to where, to a point of humility. Because he's so good. He's so gracious. He's so wonderful. Jesus. You can't lose with them. Ever. Your self-talk matters so much in your life. You don't even realize it. What you say over yourself, what you speak over yourself, that matters. Your confession. She kept saying, we're going to get to that. She kept saying, if I may touch the hem. If I may touch. Pleading fervently with him, my little daughter is dying, he said, please come and lay your hands on her. Did Jesus make Jairus say this? No, Jairus said it. Please come and lay your hands on her. That's what he wanted Jesus to do. Please come. So she can live. So she can live. So she can live. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Thank God we have better physicians today than we do, than they did back then. But that doesn't change the gospel. That doesn't change the power of God. That doesn't change that resurrection power that lives in us because he is alive in us. It doesn't change the situation. That's why the gospel don't change anywhere you preach it. But this is one of the reasons why you see less miracles in this nation than you do anywhere else, because of our great physicians. Jesus is the great physician. I'm just letting you know that. He is. And his power has not changed. If you need it. If they can't do it, he can, and he will. So if you go there, get your faith in line with his word. Don't go in there in doubt and unbelief. That's not good. I don't know about you. If I had, and I'm not saying this, I said, if I had my choice, I want the best of the best of the best. I don't want somebody going to give me a hack job. Go in there for tonsillitis, and next thing you know, I got a vasectomy. No. I don't want that. Read the charts, man. Read the charts. I don't want you winging it on that one. Can't. No. God bless it. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus. She didn't hear the bad news about Jesus. She heard the good news. That's important. Be careful what you hear. Because sometimes people can say certain things about other individuals that I wouldn't say you trust and believed in, but just the fact that you wouldn't allow that person to pray and that person could have the answer for you. And you might take an offense to it. See, your gift is not for you. It's for someone else. But sometimes some people, the enemy don't want you to receive the gift that's in that individual. So they'll do everything they can in order to stir up strife. Guess what? The giftings I have are for you and for everybody online. It's not for me. So enjoy, sit back, kick up your feet. Let's roll. Take it in. I'm not here just to hear myself talk. I don't like to hear myself talk. But God has prepared me for such a time as this. She said, if I may touch. Jairus said, come and lay your hands on her so that she may live. You know, when I was 3 years old, when I got hit by a car, the doctors had said, told my dad, it was like, we're going to have to cut him open because they thought my lungs went up into my chest cavity, my heart. My dad said, no, because he already had prayed. He said, that didn't happen. Well, they wasn't going to take his word for it, so they cut me open anyway. So I got stitches to prove it. And he was right. He didn't allow it to move him. It was a bad report that they were trying to give me. He didn't accept it. I couldn't talk. He had to accept it for me. He already had trusted God. He already had prayed when they say, don't pick him up. Don't pick him up after I got hit. Don't pick him up. He picked me up, prayed over me, and put me back down and started coughing up blood. If he didn't do that, I would have choked on my own blood. See, there are things that God is going to have you do that is not going to make sense to everyone else. And you can't be afraid to do it. He's given you that wisdom, that word of knowledge. He's given it to you. Everyone else could be saying whatever they want to say, and then God can give you a word of knowledge, just deposit it right here in your spirit, and you go to that person and say exactly what they needed, even though they've never said it before. And it will change their life. Be willing to hear from the Lord. We're not just here playing games. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. We give glory and honor to God. That's why we're here, man. We're here to be equipped. You're here to be fed. Jesus is that healer. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Man. She heard about Jesus. Verse 28, she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. You got New King James Version? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She said it. What are you saying? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. What are you saying? Are you saying the situation? Or are you saying what his word says? If he didn't give you a word yet, you already have a word right here. And you already have his word sitting in your lap. What are you saying to your situation? You don't think it matters. Some people don't. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. But she kept saying, that was years ago. Well, Jesus is not here. I can't touch Pastor Tim's shoes or somebody else's shoes. It doesn't matter. She needed a point of contact. You heard Charles Capps talk about that? You needed a point of contact. Touch something. There was a lady who I talked about. I may butcher this story, but there was a lady that I talked about. You know, she heard that she needed a point of contact, and she didn't have anyone there, so she just said, if I could just touch the refrigerator. She needed a point of contact. Well, that was Jesus. People were bringing others, laying them down in the street so that Peter's shadow would fall on them. Where was that at in the Bible? That was their faith in God. They chose to do that. You know what? If I just put my pant leg on, my left leg will be healed in the name of Jesus. Just, and then it's what you're saying and what you're believing. Well, where was that at in the scripture? Where were these at? He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the restorer. He's the forgiver. He's the provider. He's our banner. If I just may say, if I can just take my glasses off, I will be able to see. We don't be saying, we just, it's not a big thing. Oh, my eyes are getting bad. I'm going to have to get surgery. I'm going to have to do this. We start seeing and we don't ever think about making that effort. I had a migraine. Anybody ever had those deep, dark migraines? Y'all have heard this story before. Big time migraines, tunnel vision. I want to get into a dark room. Leave me alone. Finally, I said, that's enough. Why? Because it wasn't from God. Came out here. Why? Because I said, if I may turn this music on, I will be healed. I'm not leaving here without being healed. Turn that music on, blasted it up, louder than Dean ever allows. And I just danced around here, praising God in a dark room. Just the lights up here on. Hour and a half. I haven't had a migraine since. I've been over 15 years. What are you saying? That's the thing. What are you saying? You're going to have this bad hip for the rest of your life? What are you saying? I don't care what the doctor says. I care more about what Jesus says about your life. He can heal. But he wants you believing and trusting in him. Faith over your fears. Fear. I had a fear of talking. Speaking, public speaking. First time I had to do it, I had to do a Martin Luther King in fourth grade. And I ditched it. how to do a big old speech, that I have a dream speech. I didn't want to do it. Scared. And so as I went home, because we just stayed down the street without, you know, teacher's permission. And then I come back and then I'm watching through the cafeteria windows and they're doing the speech. And I'm like this. And now everybody can see me because it was tinted, but I could barely see in, and everybody could see me, just a little black head just peeking out the corner. I was deathly afraid. I didn't even pass speech class in college. Years later, got an F. They're saying, that's the easiest class to take, man. We gave you the easy classes. Well, I did the first speech, which I can talk about myself, but after that, I didn't have the confidence. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, God revealed that word to me. For God did not give me. If he didn't give it to me, why am I accepting it? God didn't give me fear. So why would I ever accept fear in my life or any situation? He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to you. But he's given me power. He's given me love. And he's given me a sound mind. Sound mind. So it don't matter how much of the gaslighting that people may do, how much stuff that they may throw at you, how much stuff they may say about you, he's given me a sound mind. He's given you a sound mind. Can you say that with me? Say, God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God has given me a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. Look at me. God. God. God has given me power, love, and a sound mind. You believe it? And we speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. And we command you to come out right now. You have no right to be in her body. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. Sound mind. Dementia gone. We come against it right now. Say it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to come back to you. Verse 28. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed in her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Now, everybody is going after Jesus. They're touching him. And only one turns him. That one was in faith. That's why we live by faith and not by. Faith will get Jesus' attention. Faith turned Jesus. Everybody was pushing up on him, touching him. There were other times where people were touching him and they got healed. This one, he said, I felt power come out of me. This woman could have been complaining the whole time. Bills aren't being paid. She don't have any more money. Husband left her. She's not a part of any circle or group or anything like that. If she steps out the house, she's going to be stoned to death. There's a lot of things she could have been complaining about. But she kept saying, if I may touch. Stop talking about your situation. And start talking to your situation about God. I'm telling you, it's going to change. It has to. If you're in faith, it has to. If there's a scale about your faith from 1 to 10, there's some people who's like on level 10. They just trust, they believe God, they're there when it comes to finances. I know we're going to give. I can trust God in that. But when it comes to healing, I might be at a 5. But that means there's 5 of levels of unbelief that you're going to have to get out. If you're not at 10 and everything and trusting God in every area. So whatever unbelief is there, get it out. Because unbelief is the only thing that will stop God from actually receiving from him. Verse 30, Jesus at once realized that healing power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing you, pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Your faith. I'm reminded of the woman with the Syrophoenician woman who was needing healing for her daughter. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me. And he ignored her. Reason why he ignored her, because Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. She was outside of it. And he says, it's not good to take from what is your child and give it to the dogs. And she says, yes, master, but even the dogs can eat from the master's table. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. What Israel was given, what they were getting from Jesus was a full meal. And all she wanted was a crumb of what he was given to them. She was considering herself a dog. She humbled herself and was just wanting a crumb of what Israel was given. They were rejecting Jesus at times, and she just wanted a crumb. And that was enough to heal her daughter. You have the whole meal. We don't ever want to get to a place like last week. We don't ever want to get to the place where we start provoking and testing God and tempting him or what have you, because we don't think that God can do this. He already has done it. It's a done deal. That's what his grace is for. Our faith receives God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith, through faith. And not by works. Is there a car that can go without oil? Have they made one? I think the electric. Anybody drive electric in here? So we can talk about it. No, I'm not going to go there. Lord Jesus. Verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. Now, I was going to have some people just randomly come up during my message and just whisper something in my ear while I just stayed focused on preaching. I didn't want to do that. But can you imagine? He gets stopped by this woman, and he was the first one to come to him and tell him and ask him to come to his house. He gets stopped by this woman, and Jesus attends to her because of faith. And now they're getting ready to go back and don't need to bother. See, in my mind, I would have been thinking, see, if you would have just left her alone, we could have been there. We would have been able to get there on time or what have you. He didn't do that. Jesus says this, but Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Basically, hold on to your profession. What you told me earlier, hold on to that. Why? Because we're going to do what you said I would do. I don't think God can do this anymore. That's your confession. That's your confession. He can. He's a loving, kind, and compassionate God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't stopped. Verse 37 says, then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. Just because people are with you don't mean that they're with you. These were paid. They were paid. Jesus didn't weep on this one. He put them out. The crowd laughed at him. He says, he went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. We have to be mindful not to be ruled by our emotions. Our emotions don't move God. Faith moves God. Faith will turn God to your situation. Faith in him. We can cry all day long. And the Lord will say, are you done yet? The comforter will come. There's legit crying, and then there's like the spoiled brat type crying. That's not crying. We know that. We don't throw a tantrum in the middle of the store. I think we all had kids at one point in time that did that because they couldn't get what they want. That's not our relationship with God. Because he doesn't want us lacking any good thing in our life. So it's not the fact that he doesn't want us to have it. It's the fact that maybe we're not ready for it. That goes over well. Some may be in doubt and in unbelief, getting all caught up in their feelings and emotions. They don't know any better. You can correct the ignorance or leave them be. But either way, don't you dare back down from the truth of what God's word says when he's spoken it to you and what has come out of your mouth by faith. Verse 41, it says, holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. For Jesus, it was nothing but a chicken wing. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. That's normal. That's normal life as a believer. Right there. Doing that. That's a normal life. And sometimes it's difficult for us to get our prayers answered. We're living far below what God has called us to. I'm talking about the body of Christ, not Westview Church. We're the cream of the crop. We're the only church. I like to compete, and sometimes I can get a little competitive, but not here, because I want us all flourishing in the body of Christ. Verse 43 says, Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. First John 5, I didn't give you this one, says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. See, you got that scripture too to stand on. Stand firm. Why? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. We're all children of God, but sons of God are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. Sons of God are the peacemakers. You want to be a son of God. You want to strive to be a son of God. That's what he's called you to. There's so much chaos in this world. I'm hearing prophetic stuff come out of everybody else, and it's doom and gloom. And it's like, you know what? Just because they're saying it doesn't mean that God is saying it. Number one. Number two, the message still got to be preached. The gospel still got to be taken to the ends of the earth. And we're going to have to restructure some things within the body of Christ. Because we're spending millions upon millions of dollars trying to get on daytime television and stuff and all that junk. And you can just get on YouTube for free. Politicians as well. Stop spending billions of dollars. You can get on YouTube and social media for free. Hire interns. You don't have to pay them. Quit spending millions of dollars. My two cents. Somebody said, just keep the change. But whatever you're dealing with in right here, right now, whatever ailment you got going on, and you need prayer, come on up. I'm going to have some people come up. I may call them up. If you need something, if you need healing in your body right now, today, come on up.